chapter of the Gospel according to John. John's Gospel, chapter 10. And as you turn to that passage of Scripture, I would like to say what a joy it is for me to be here again in Pennsylvania and here in Malvern this morning. We always enjoy coming down to this part of the world. There's so much history attached to it. I was telling the Reverend Irwin a number of months ago that I'd hoped to go to Pennsylvania and to Gettysburg for the reenactment of the 140th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. And Mr. Irwin says, yeah, I would love to go. So he made the arrangements, and he phoned me a couple of weeks ago to tell me I've just got the ticket. And I said, brother, I've something to tell you. The day that he had bought his ticket was the day I got the word that the reenactment would have been cancelled. But we decided to come anyway, and we always enjoy his fellowship, and we had a good time traveling down. And we went to Gettysburg yesterday anyway and enjoyed our time there. So it's a joy to be here. I'd like to thank Dr. Allison for his words of welcome, and thank him also for the invitation to minister the word of the Lord here. And we do bring you greetings from our church in Port Hope. And we had Dr. Dotson and his wife stay with us for a few days at the end of the minister's week of prayer. And we had Dr. Dotson preach for us. We enjoyed their fellowship and our brother's ministry. So it's a joy to be here again. Our friendship with many of the folk here go back many, many years. And it's a good to be able to see them again today and to renew fellowship with them. Do continue to pray for us in Port Hope, as we know you have been doing, because the Lord has indeed been gracious to us and has given us some tokens for good in recent months, and new families have come and joined with us. And we give the Lord all the praise and all of the glory. So we're glad to be here today, and we trust the Lord will meet with us as we gather around His Word, and that we meet with Him, the one whom our soul loveth. Turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, we shall commence reading at the 19th verse, John 10 and verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 31 with the earnest prayer that God will bless the public reading of His own holy, inspired, and infallible Word. to our hearts this Lord's Day morning. Just before we consider God's Word to our hearts, let us unite our hearts in prayer. And let us pray indeed that the Spirit of God this morning will open our hearts to receive the Word. And He will open the Word to our hearts. Let us all pray. Our most gracious God and eternal Father, we bless Thee for this, the return of Thy day. We're glad, dear Lord, that upon this Sabbath morning we are found in the Lord's house. And, O Lord, as Thy blood-washed and blood-bought people, Thy, Lord, knowest that there's no other place we would rather be than in the Lord's house with the Lord's people and around the Lord's own Word. Gracious Father, we thank Thee for a sense of Thy presence already. And we ask Thee, Lord, that in grace and mercy Thou would continue with us. And, O gracious Lord, we pray today that Thou would gather every wandering thought of ours and bring it into captivity. And, gracious Lord, we pray in the time that remains to us in Thy house, Lord, may every thought be fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, our God, today that our hearts will be stead upon Him. And, O Lord, we pray that we'll turn our eyes this day afresh upon Jesus. We'll look full in His wonderful face. For then, Lord, we know the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Lord, fill this house with Thy glory. And fill our hearts, O Lord, with Thy grace. We thank Thee, Lord, for this church and this witness, and for Thy servants who labor here. We thank Thee, Lord, for this congregation and every remembrance of it. And, O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt do even greater things in the days that lie ahead. Grant our gracious Lord that today and in the days to come, precious souls will be gathered into Christ. Now, Lord, come and abide with us. Come, Lord, and grant us the power of Thy Spirit, that we might be enabled, Lord, to preach the Word, and to preach Christ, and to make much of His precious blood. For we ask these things, dear Lord, in Thy name, always giving to Thee the praise, the honor, and all of the glory. Amen. Verses that I would like us to consider this morning with the Lord's help are verses 27 and 28. Here in this passage we have read in John chapter 10, verse 27, the Lord Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." Because they possess similar characteristics, the Lord Jesus did not hesitate to liken His people to sheep. The likeness is very profound when we consider what the Lord Jesus says in His Word about sheep. We are like sheep because sheep, by their very nature, love to roam. If sheep are not fenced in, they will roam and go astray. The Apostle Peter recognizes this in his epistle. 1 Peter 2, verse 25, "For ye were as sheep, going astray." And of course, the prophet Isaiah has informed us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. his own way. Like the sheep it is in our very nature to go astray. Oh, the Lord has fenced us in, but in our rebellion we have broken through those fences of his law and his commandments and his testimonies. As the psalmist states, we set ourselves against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. Psalm 2, verses 2 and 3. And when did we acquire this roaming, this rebellious nature? Why, it was inherent in us from the day we were born. Psalm 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That rebellious nature was in us the day we were born. That desire to go astray, that desire to roam and break every commandment and every testimony that God has set before us was in our hearts from the moment we breathed this air of this life. And again, when the psalmist thought upon his own waywardness, he said in Psalm 119, verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Yes, the psalmist speaks about the sheep going astray, and that's what we're like. We go astray, and sheep that go astray are headed for ruin. A wayward roaming sheep cannot find its way back home again. It's impossible. Once it has gone astray, it is lost and ruined. Except the shepherd goes out and seeks that sheep and brings it home again. See how alike we are to sheep? From the moment our first parents broke through the fence of God's law, we followed. You and I know the nature of sheep. If one sheep breaks through the fence, the others will follow. And that's exactly what we did. Our sinful nature has taken us far from God, and we're lost. My friend in this meeting today, if the shepherd has not yet found you, you're lost. You're lost now, you'll be lost tomorrow, and you'll be lost for eternity. Like the sheep, we never looked for or never searched for a way back home. The sheep will never look for its way back home again. Never. We're just like the sheep. We've gone astray from our mother's womb. We went astray the day we were born. And we've been going astray ever since. And we would never, ever seek our way back home again. Every day that would pass, every year we live, would lead us further and further and further away from God. Except the shepherd came to seek for us and search for us, we'd be ruined for eternity. Lord Jesus told the story of the shepherd who had 100 sheep and one of them went astray and was lost, and he went and searched for it until he found it. See, the sheep did not come home of its own accord. Shepherd had to go and search for it. And once we have gone astray, we would not seek our way home. The shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. And we today who are saved are able to say, my shepherd. And we thank God for that day that He went out and He searched for us and He searched and searched until He found us, and then He brought us home. And because He went out and searched for us and brought us home, now He's able to say, "My sheep, they're My sheep. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." I would like us today to consider what we mean to Christ. As the sheep of His pasture, what do we mean to Christ? It says, "My sheep." Here we have the shepherd and the purchasing of the sheep. He calls them My sheep. He must have bought them. It was when He was at Jerusalem for the feast of the dedication that the Jews came to Him and said, "If Thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." The Lord Jesus replied and said, "I told you and ye believe not," verse 25. The Lord then informs them why they do not believe, verse 26, "But ye believe not because ye are not of My sheep." That then afforded the Lord Jesus the opportunity to speak to those Jews and to tell them about His sheep, those who did believe and those who are His sheep. And if you're a believer today, you're the sheep of Christ's fold. And you can not only sing that wonderful psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," but you can say it in your heart, "The Lord is my shepherd." And thank God the Lord is able to say of us, "These are My sheep." The Lord Jesus says here, "My sheep," that means then we belong to Christ. My sheep. So we belong to Him. Before a shepherd makes his purchase, he will go to the market. He'll cast an eye over the sheep, and he'll choose that flock of sheep that he wants to purchase and make his own. So we're the Lord's sheep because He has chosen us. He's chosen us to be His sheep. First of all, when did He choose? It's a good question. Believer, when did Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, choose you and me to be His sheep? Did He choose us to be His sheep when He saw us kneeling there that day or that hour? Or that night, did He choose us to be His sheep when He saw us kneeling at the cross? Did He say, "I will have that man or that woman to be My sheep"? No, not at all. Chose us to be a sheep long before that. Did He choose us to be His sheep when we began to mend our ways and reform our ways? Did the shepherd look upon us and see how we were trying to do the best we could and then say, "I'll have that sheep"? No, not at all. It was long before that. Or maybe it was when He saw us sitting reading our Bible or praying or attending the house of God. And He saw us reading and listening to the preaching of the Word. Christ say, I'll have that sheep." No, it was long before that. Or maybe it was when we came into the world and we lay as an infant in our mother's arms.
And they looked upon us and saw us and described us as Moses was described, as a comely child. Did the Lord look upon us and say, that's a comely child. I will have that child as my sheep.
No, it was long before that.
So when did he choose us to be his sheep? Let's ask Paul. Let's say, Paul, tell us. Tell us today, when did the Lord Jesus choose you and me to be his sheep?
Paul tells us, Ephesians 1 verse 4,
according as he had chosen us in him,
when?
Before the foundation of the world. Before he chose the stars and put them in their places, he chose us to be his sheep. Before he chose the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night, he chose us to be his sheep.
Before he chose the colors of the rainbow, before he chose the flowers for Eden's garden, before he chose the cedars for Lebanon, before he chose the beasts for the field, believer, he chose you and me, and he chose us in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus had his sheep. That begs another question. Why did he choose us? Why?
That's the question that has baffled saints for generations. That's the question that you and I have no answer to. How often have we sung those words, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued?
Amazing love, and can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Why?
I tell you, if we lived 10,000 years, we would be no nearer the answer
as to why he saved us and made us his sheep.
It is beyond the ken of Solomon. It is too deep a matter for Apollos to fathom. We needn't seek for an answer among the angels. Gabriel doesn't know. Michael cannot tell us.
They would just simply say his ways are past finding out. The more we think about it, the mystery deepens. We think of the words of the prophet in describing sinful man from the sole of the foot,
even under the head there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And when we ask the question again and again and again and again, why, Lord? Why, Lord, did thou choose me before the foundation of the world to be one of thy sheep?
We get the same answer from within our hearts. I don't know. There's only one word. There's only one word that can bring us near to answering that question. why Christ, out of the multitudes of Adam's fallen race, had chosen for himself a people before the foundation of the world, a people to be his sheep. There's only one word that comes near: grace.
How else might this mystery be explained? Grace is the word that seems to settle it. Paul trumpeted that word. How Paul loved that word, grace. Marvelous grace of my loving Lord.
Paul says in Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. What was it again? To the praise and the glory of his grace. No wonder Newton penned the words, amazing grace. And how we love to sing about grace, and how we love to hear about grace. If it were not for grace, we wouldn't be here today. Sing it out.
Shout it out to the praise of the glory of his grace.
That's why he says we are his sheep. Chosen us before the foundation of the world. But there's something else. Consider the way he has chosen us. I'd like you to turn, please, to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Verse 7. I declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. By the Holy Spirit, we're allowed to listen in on a conversation between the first and second person of the Trinity, a conversation between the Father and the Son. And the Father says, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Now verse 8, ask of me. The Father says to the Son, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Look carefully at those words. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for. The word for is in italics. The Father was saying, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen, thine inheritance. I'll give thee thine inheritance.
And Jesus Christ has asked. And away before the foundation of the world, he asked. And the Father was saying, whoever you ask for, I'll give them to thee.
And I'll give them to thee as thine inheritance. It's hard to understand, isn't it? The way back in eternity past before the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus said to the Father, give me Reggie Cranston. I want him as part of my inheritance. And all that the Father giveth me, he said, shall come to me. And when the Lord Jesus asked, believer, he asked for you.
He asked for you, sister. He asked for you, brother. And he asked for you to be his inheritance.
How can we understand it? Bless God. I believe it with all of my heart. We belong to Christ. He says we are His sheep. My sheep hear my voice.
Not only belong to Christ, but if we are His sheep, then we were bought by Christ. The shepherd is able to say, those sheep belong to me, I have bought them and I have paid for them. And the Lord Jesus is our good shepherd. And this discourse emphasizes the price He paid for His sheep. Oh, it wasn't paid in silver and gold. We weren't paid for it in shekels. I find that no less than 5 times in this passage of Scripture, 5 times the Lord Jesus tells His hearers how He paid for the sheep. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. And again, twice over in verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down 5 times. The Lord Jesus spoke about the price He had to pay in order for us to be His sheep. He had to lay down His life. Here we see that He paid the price willingly. Is that not what those words tell us? Do they not tell us about the willingness of Christ? I lay down my life. No, it wasn't taken from Him. He didn't die as a martyr on Calvary. Oh, that's what some people think. That's what some people would teach today. That Jesus Christ died as a martyr on Calvary. No, He didn't. Life wasn't taken from Him. He laid it down. He said, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. And here 4 times over He said, I lay down my life. And again He said, I gave my life. There's His willingness. There was no haggling over the price. The Lord Jesus said, I am willing to pay the price, whatever price is demanded, in order that I might purchase my sheep, I am willing to pay that price. There was no disputing the demanded value of the sheep. Shepherd may dispute with the seller and they'll haggle for a while over the price and say, oh, your sheep's not worth that much. No such disputing or haggling on Christ's part. He said, I'll pay the price that's demanded. There was no argument about the condition of the sheep. Our shepherd said, I'm willing to pay the price. Whatever it is demanded, I'll pay the price of my sheep. There was no forcing the buyer into a deal he did not want to make. No, the Lord Jesus said, I laid down my life of myself. And there in Gethsemane's garden, sweating as it were great drops of blood, thine be done. Whatever the price, I'll pay it. And the price was the death of God's Son. And the price was the shedding of His blood. And the Lord Jesus said, I will pay it.
Everything he did is stamped with his willingness.
He said in his descending into this world as man to be the servant of God, he came willingly. We see it in his desire to finish the work the Father sent him to do. There's his willingness again. We see it in his dedication to the cause of rescuing and purchasing and saving his sheep. We see it in his death.
I lay down my life for my sheep. And he did it willingly. He paid the price willingly. He paid the price wholly.
What more can be said of a man who lays down his life for others? When a man has laid down his life, there is nothing more that he can do. He has paid his all. He has done everything he can do.
He can do no more. When Jesus Christ laid down his life and paid the price, shedding his blood, bless his name. He did everything that was needed to be done. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And he shed his blood.
And blood flowed from his head and his hands and his feet. Blood was demanded as the price of our salvation, and Jesus Christ paid the price in full.
Paid the price in full. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee. But thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now.
That bitter cup, love drank it up.
Thy blessings draught for me. He met the demands of the law. He came under the wrath of a holy God. Bore the punishment of sin for all of his elect. Paid the price and did it willingly. In verse 17 of John 10, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Dear child of God, do we not love him today?
Do we not say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou, if ever I loved thee. My Jesus, 'tis now, because thou didst lay down thy life for me.
One who was covered in wounds and bruises and putrefied sores.
One who deserved the lowest hell.
Yet Christ paid the price. The last drop of his blood. Not only do we belong to him, not only were we bought by him, but we're beloved him.
The fact that the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep shows us that he loves. Things are going against us. We say with
The psalmist, has the Lord forgotten to be gracious? We wonder what's happening. And things take place that we cannot explain, and we wonder, does the Lord still love us? Dear child of God, we've only to look to Calvary and say, of course he loves us. Didn't he die for us? Didn't he shed his blood for us? Of course he loves us. Unchanging and unchangeable love, that's how he loves. In the East, the shepherd will purchase sheep. They almost become part of the family. He will know everything about every individual sheep, his parentage, where it was born. He knows his sheep, and the Lord Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Our great shepherd knows us, all about us, eternally. He knew us before the foundation of the world. Before I formed thee, he said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He knows us personally. To me, this is another great mystery. The Lord knows us personally. He knows me personally. I know them, calls everyone by name. My, we're impressed if we're introduced to someone and 2 or 3 years later we meet them again and they remember our names. We're impressed. That was good that person remembered my name after all this time. But Jesus Christ doesn't just know and remember our names. He knows all about us. He calleth his own sheep by name, John 10, verse 3. He also has our names engraved in the palms of his hands. And when he lifts up his holy hands in prayer as our great high priest, he lifts up before his Father our names, for they're engraved in the palms of his hands. And when he intercedes on our behalf as the great high priest, he has our names upon his breastplate next to his heart. Oh, he knows us all right, personally and eternally. Intimately. What a blessing that is. Look at verse 14. How well does he know us? Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of them, of mine. And verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In other words, the Lord Jesus knows us as he knows the Father. That's how intimately he knows his sheep. What a blessing this is, just to know that Christ knows is a great comfort to us when we're troubled. Jesus knows. When in the bedroom we weep silent tears, Jesus knows. And when our heart is troubled or we're suffering pain or we're languishing on a bed of sickness, Jesus knows, because he's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus knows. What a comfort that is. Maybe someone here this morning, you're sitting in that pew with a heavy heart. The person beside you doesn't know a thing about it. People in front of you don't know, and the people behind you don't know, and you're carrying that burden alone.
And it's one of those burdens perhaps you cannot share with anyone else. Bless the Lord, you can share it with Jesus. Because He knows.
He knows how you feel today. He knows the innermost thoughts of your heart. I wouldn't like to be without Him for anything. I wouldn't like to face the troubles of this life without Christ. And yet many are doing that very thing. You know not Christ? Who do you share your troubles with?
You know not Christ? And you weep somewhere alone. Nobody knows.
And you weep alone. But not with Christ. He knows what it is to weep. He knows what it is to sigh. I would recommend Him to you today. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Here's the shepherd and the pathway for the sheep. They follow Me.
Since He is our shepherd and we are His sheep, and when we hear His voice, we follow Him. For the Lord says, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. They follow Me. This tells us then that the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. And each time we hear it preached, and we hear the voice of Christ as the Word of God is preached, my, we are glad we're able to say, I heard the voice of My shepherd today. Many times have you come into God's house and you've been tempted not to go to God's house at all. You wanted to stay at home. You'd rather stay at home.
You've some great burden, some great trouble upon your mind. But when God's servants preach the Word suddenly, you heard the voice, that familiar voice, that recognizable voice. You heard the voice of your shepherd. Saying, comfort ye my people. My, how that voice of the shepherd comforted me. And you are glad you came to God's house. He's a great shepherd, isn't he? He's a great Savior. The sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. They discern the voice of the shepherd. Out in the east, you could get a dozen men to stand in the midst of a flock and call those sheep, and they'll not move. But when their shepherd calls them, they hear His voice, and they follow Him. When we hear the calling voice of Christ, how our hearts are drawn out after Him. I love those words in John 3 and 29 regarding John the Baptist. John 3, 29, verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before Him. Verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly, because of the bridegroom's voice, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. John says, I'm the friend of the bridegroom. And John says, there's nothing fills me with more joy than hearing the bridegroom's voice. And that's true, isn't it? There's nothing blesses the child of God more than sitting in the Lord's house and hearing the shepherd's voice. And we can go out from God's house and say, the shepherd spoke to me today. Just hearing his voice fills us with joy. See, the shepherd received the shepherd's voice. Now, the sheep received the shepherd's voice. The sheep of one shepherd will not receive or accept any other voice. Likewise, the Savior's sheep only have ears for his voice. Verses 4 and 5, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. My, there's many a stranger crying out for our attention today across this world. Strange doctrines they preach. Strange ways they teach. But as God's sheep, we only have ears for the shepherd's voice. Notice what he says. My sheep hear my voice and they follow who? Me. Follow Christ. When God's servants open the book and preach the word, and the voice of the shepherd is heard, we are drawn to whom? To Jesus Christ. His word will always, always draw us to him. If it doesn't, it's not his word. If it doesn't, it's not his voice. Somebody else's voice. It's the voice of a hireling. It's not the voice of the shepherd. And the sheep respond to the voice of the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Dear believer, let us respond to the voice of the shepherd. For you never know what you're missing if you don't respond to the voice of the shepherd. John on the Isle of Patmos heard a voice behind him. Says John, turn to see the voice that spake with him. And he was given a revelation of Jesus Christ that he had never experienced before. Whatever you do today, if you hear his voice, turn. Respond. Follow him. Be able to say today, where he may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust him so. And I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. That's a good reason for responding, isn't it? His voice, his word will always lead us to him. Finally and briefly, the shepherd and the preservation of his sheep. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And if the good shepherd hasn't done enough for his sheep by laying down his life, he has done even more. He's given us the gift of eternal life. This in stark contrast to the hireling whom the Lord describes in verse 10 as a thief. A
the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus, the only thing He takes away from us is our sin. But out of the infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth, and He giveth, and He giveth again. And glory to God, that's what it is. It is eternal life. Here's the gift. The rich young ruler came to the Lord and said, "What must I do?" Bless the Lord, there's nothing to do but repent of your sin and you'll receive the gift of eternal life. Notice what he said. "I give." He doesn't say, "I will give." We have already received. We have eternal life now. It's the gift and the guarantee they shall never perish. Never perish. Why doesn't that sound, those words sound like music in our ears? Never perish. Our shepherd has found his sheep. He says, "They're mine. I've bought them. I've paid for them with my own blood. And I'll never give them up. They're mine." Guarantee. The Lord Jesus, in his great high priestly prayer, prayed, "Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost." There's not another shepherd has a record like that. Not another shepherd with a record like that. Every shepherd loses some sheep, but Jesus Christ has never lost one. And he never will. And you have his greatness. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." The word "man" is in italics, so "neither shall any man, devil, demon pluck them out of my hand." When the nail-pierced hand of Christ, there's no power on earth or under the earth or in hell that can snatch our soul from the hands of Christ. Hell is no power great enough. Lucifer is no strength sufficient enough. There's no army great enough to take us from the hand of Christ. Abide in the Lord, secure in His control. 'Tis life everlasting begun to pluck from His hand the weakest, trembling soul. Listen, it never, never shall be done. For if God be for us, who can be against us? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them,